The Western Michigan University series, Live and Interactive, continues tonight with a performance at 7:30. And I'm really excited to talk to a pioneering woman who loves brass, loves dance, and has made her own mark in the world of modern classical music. Her name is Velvet Brown, and she's a tuba soloist. Velvet, very nice to have you here at WMUK.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
You are visiting from the State College of Pennsylvania State University, where you are on faculty there, as well as at Peabody Conservatory. And did you grow up around Pennsylvania? Is that where you're from?
No, I'm not from Pennsylvania. I actually grew up in Annapolis, Maryland.
So, yeah, you do know your East Coast places.
Yes. Yes.
Would you give us a quick encapsulated version of what drove you to become a tuba professional?
Okay. I was drawn to brass instruments when I was very young. My father was a member of a drum and bugle corps in the city of Annapolis, and it was time to choose instruments in elementary school, third, fourth grade, and he took me with him to a rehearsal so that I could hear just the different instruments, and I actually chose the trumpet as the instrument that I wanted to play. So I started out in elementary school as a trumpet player. And later on, my father had his own drum and bugle corps, and I played soprano bugle in his drum and bugle corps. Actually, I played for 9 years. But I switched to tuba in the seventh grade when I got to junior high school, because we had an amazing junior high school band, and the director was a graduate of the University of Michigan. She was a trumpet player. Her name was Alice Harper. She's passed on now. But she had a great band, and she had 12 trumpet players already. Mm. And so she said, okay, I need a tuba player. Would anyone like to volunteer? And I think she was really looking at me, because I also had been playing the piano for 4 years. I understood the bass clef and so forth. So with mutual volunteering between her volunteering me and me volunteering, because I wanted to be in the band, I said I would do it. And a week later, I was in that incredible junior high school band that was just phenomenal. And I didn't look back. That was seventh grade. And eighth grade, I was first chair all-state band in Maryland. And that continued all the way through my high school years.
Even though trumpet and tuba are both brass instruments, they behave very differently, and they often function mm-hmm. differently. Was that an interesting transition?
I didn't think about it, because it was just something that I did. I still played trumpet, so I had rehearsals in the evenings with my father's band, and I played tuba during the day in the school band. I think it's similar if someone played baseball and also played football. So I didn't think about it.
Even though the parts are so different, I think I'm alluding to, you know, trumpeters being melody mm-hmm. people, and tubas, I think you would end up, you know, hearing differently in a way. To understand, like, you're playing foundational mm-hmm. stuff.
You actually are kind of hitting it right on the head there. Yes, I played melody with the trumpet, and I didn't have the melody as a tuba player, and I didn't like that. So I think that's why I really loved learning my all-state solos, because they were solos and not band parts. I think that idea of wanting to be a soloist drove me to strive to be a soloist for a career with the tuba.
Do you play multiple tuba-like instruments, or is it I think there are different varieties?
Yes, there are different varieties, and I do play, I have played All of them, I would assume, because there's the B-flat tuba. That's where I started.
Okay.
And then I went on to play the C tuba, which is generally very similar to that. Then you need somewhat the solo or chamber music instrument. That was the first one, which for me was an E flat, which is a little bit smaller. And then I played an F tuba. That's what I play mainly now for solo tuba. I also continue to play C tuba because I do play in an orchestra. I've been principal tuba of the New Hampshire Music Festival Orchestra for 20 plus years. So that's a summer festival, and I've also played as a substitute principal tuba with the Detroit Symphony. I've played with the St. Louis Symphony and Fort Wayne as well. So there, I like to continue playing as an orchestral tuba player as well.
That's five different kinds of tubas, and I imagine you can't just have a closet. It's got to be its own room to hold some of these instruments.
I do have a small collection, because there are people that have many more, but there are several, and my studio at home, it's not comfortable with the five or six tubas in there. No, there's just barely room for me.
Tell us about some opportunities that came your way that you grabbed as a young soloist.
As a young soloist, I think I spent a lot of time learning the solos, but when you're in school, you pretty much have the standard opportunities of maybe playing on the common hour programs at school. Or your recitals. When I was an undergrad, my junior year, I won the concerto competition and had an opportunity to play the a concerto with the school orchestra. And that was, I think that was the beginning of me striving to play solo materials. And I think I did much more. I developed more things. I started to arrange things, wanting to play the pieces that other people played versus just the music that was written for tuba.
Did you pursue higher education as a musician? What school did you go to?
I went to West Virginia University, and there I studied tuba performance. I also have, I studied bass trombone, and have a degree in bass trombone. I also have a piano minor, and I was a theory composition major.
Wow.
So I really wanted to explore music, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of skills in one person. Did you start kind of narrowing down a path for yourself at some point?
Yes, I did. At one point, the first thing to leave was the bass trombone. And on a professional level, I just thought I couldn't continue to play and practice that instrument. And that was one of the first instruments to leave. The piano, I wish that I practiced that regularly after. I play enough now to, I always say to my students, to give a little flavor to what your accompaniment is like. And sometimes I give a little bit too much flavor because there's some notes that shouldn't be there. But but I do love the piano. Matter of fact, when in my studio, sometimes I will gravitate to the piano to get a musical point across, much more than the tuba.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I want to remind listeners that my guest here today is a guest of the University School of Music, Velvet Brown. She's a tuba soloist and has put together Moja Tuba, a tuba and dance project. And I think we should start to prepare our listeners for what the concert will be like tonight. It will not simply be a straightforward classical recital with tuba and piano, although, of course, tuba and piano are part of it. You've created a project that involves movement, visuals, and music And perhaps you could talk about how Moja Tuba came about.
I'm trying to think about the time where I first thought of adding dance to a tuba recital. But first, I want to talk about tuba and percussion. That was my first project, and I was brought into the Percussion Plus project as the plus, and this was at DePauw in Indiana with Dr. Amy Barber, who's actually the niece of the composer Samuel Barber.
Is that right?
And she was a percussionist and also the dean of the school at that time. And I didn't know that there were so many pieces written for tuba and percussion. And she introduced those to me. At that time, I met Jimmy Finney, who's performing with us tonight, and he was one of the members of the Percussion Plus project. He was, and still is actually, professor of percussion at Indiana State, so that was an easy commute for him mm-hmm. to be part of that ensemble. And there were lovely sounds and so forth, and then I went on from there from having some pieces that Dr. Barber knew to have some pieces written myself, and I put out a CD with tuba and percussion of pieces that I commissioned. And so I just loved having the tuba with other sounds other than just a tuba and piano recital. And then from there, I was on a leave from school and came back to school after I was a medical leave, family medical leave, and I came back and I thought, I need to get involved in my career again. And I thought having a dancer interpret some beautiful music would be a great project. And I called, I was teaching at Penn State, or at the time, I still am, but I called over to the dance department. I didn't know anyone. And I left a message for one dance professor, and then I left a message for another one. And the person that called back was Kikora Franklin, who teaches, she's a professor there. We started at the same time, actually. And she walked over to my office, and she said, I did receive your call. And she goes, tuba? Okay. I'm not sure. She had no idea what she was getting into, but I'm really happy that she said, sure, I will try this. And there were a couple of pieces on the program at the time. I had a recital at school, and I thought, let's have you dance to a couple of pieces. And one of the pieces at the time was Alice Gomez's Latin Jazz Suite, Mambo Cha. And so she listened to the recording, and she choreographed a dance. And at that time, we had three dancers. She had two students with her, and made that a project for those advanced students that she had. And we also interpreted, she also worked on the piece, Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, and that was her solo dance with, and we do kind of an improvisation together with that. Uh-huh. And then we also decided to go ahead and have a piece by Barbara York dance too. It's called How Beautiful. And that's how we started.
This concert tonight will include a dancer. Her name is Brianna Bunkley, And she's a professional from New York City, you said?
She's at NYU. She's in the MFA program right now.
Mm-hmm. And
professional.
The concert will begin with sort of a duet for dancer and tuba, right?
It's a trio, actually.
It's
and
trio.
The pianist also sings, and so he's going to start out the concert by singing. And then we'll introduce the dancer, and then I will join them.
And I'm with Velvet Brown, who's a tuba soloist and the creator of Moja Tuba, a tuba and dance project. And we here in Kalamazoo get to have the chance to experience this tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. If you arrive a little early at 7 o'clock, Dr. White will get behind some of the pieces with the performers and add some context as well. Another big thing to point out about this program is your focus on Black American spirituals as well as concert pieces. We've got the great composer William Grant Still. You've not yet mentioned Roger Kellaway. I'm curious about this Dr. Martin Luther King In Memoriam suite. And there's much more we will chat about. But first, I think I'll go to one of your four albums and listen to an arrangement of the spiritual Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, which we will hear tonight, as you mentioned, the first sung, and then tuba, dance, piano as well? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Do you remember how this is arranged on the album?
Well, actually, it's just solo tuba
solo
on the
tuba.
Album.
Yes. All right.
It's the arrangement, I did an arrangement of four spirituals, and this was with four trombones, and I just found it fitting to play this particular one alone.
We just listened to Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, the traditional Negro spiritual, which was performed there by Velvet Brown. And she's here in the studio with me today. And we're previewing this live concert, which starts tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Such a singing quality to the instrument and to, you know, your what you brought to it. I feel like you were singing in a way.
I try to absolutely use the tuba as my voice, and I do think of the instrument as one that can do almost anything. But what is dear to me is the way that I want to have the instrument sing.
Mm-hmm. Do you try to be in the moment as much as possible as you perform?
Yes, I do. That's for sure. I remember having a concert in outside of Milan, Italy, and the concert was sold out. Now, it was a very small hall, but I was still excited that it was sold out, but a very small hall. And the last piece on the program, or the encore, I played Dido's Lament by Purcell. And certainly I was in the moment. It was just a beautiful small hall with people there that are eager to listen. And the first row was very, very close to the stage. And I could see the eyes of people watching. And as I was playing Dido's Lament, and I could feel that I had moved a few people in the audience, and I was certainly in the moment, because as I'm playing, I had tears coming down my cheeks as well.
That piece particularly would invoke that kind of response, yes, too. And it makes me think of Jesse Norman, who we just lost last week. Fantastic performer.
There will be a tribute to her tonight, so there will be a small program change.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. The program, as we mentioned, begins with Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, and then a piece by Roger Kellaway. It's in three movements, and it pays tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King. And during the music, I asked if you knew Roger, and you said you're not super close acquaintances, but you've known of his work and through other people. How did you find this piece?
I looked in a catalog, and I saw the piece listed. I knew nothing about it. The piece was written in 1984, and I'm looking in the catalog, and 2009 or so. This is when I'm looking at the catalog, and I thought, wow, I think I'm going to order this. I know the composer's works, and he's a great, great writer. I wonder what this is all about. And I also did see they have a rating for difficulty, and I saw that it was rated and that it was quite difficult, and I ordered it anyway. I did get it, and I started to work on it, and it was a lovely piece. The piece was commissioned by Gary Buttery, who was a member of the United States Coast Guard band, and during his career, he commissioned lots of pieces, and this is an absolute wonderful piece that he commissioned. I'm sure he performed it after he commissioned the piece. But other than that, I don't know of others that have programmed it, and I was thrilled to learn the piece. Roger Kellaway is a jazz pianist or pianist. He started his career in New York City as a pianist for Lena Horne.
That's amazing. Yeah,
and has gone on to L.A. and has written soundtracks for movies such as A Star Is Born, that starred Barbra Streisand. Also, the movie Invictus, which had Morgan Freeman on the cast there. And his works for the Boston Pops, definitely a great composer that finds time to write wonderful pieces for tuba, and this is just one of his fantastic pieces. There's a major concerto called Songs of Ascent that he wrote for Warren Deck, who was the principal tuba player of the New York Philharmonic.
The three movements are titled He Calls to His Children, The March of Freedom, and The Pathway to Glory. Does Roger use jazz or spirituals or gospel influence as he puts this piece together?
Yes, he does. All of the above. it's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful piece. It starts out, the call to his children is just almost a chant. It starts out that way between the tuba and the piano.
I want to remind listeners, this is a tuba concert plus. It's Moja Tuba, Tuba and Dance Project. Velvet Brown is my guest this morning. She is the tuba soloist. Along for this concert, pianist Anthony Leach, percussionist Jimmy Finney, dancer Brianna Bunkley, and Daniel Burdick will have an unusual role. You're actually bringing in visuals.
Yes.
There's going to be a projection screen mm-hmm. and sort of ways to get completely lost in the music as it goes.
Yes. Yeah. The Dr. Daniel Burdick will provide some visuals, photo images, texts, and also we'll talk about a few of the pieces as well.
I'm looking forward to going back to music again and hearing one of the William Grant Still pieces. But before we do that, I'd like to hear about Barbara York, as a composer I'm afraid I don't know much about.
Barbara York is, I believe, a Canadian-born composer living in the U.S., definitely a friend of the brass community. She has lovely pieces for brass. This piece, How Beautiful, was commissioned by a tuba player and his wife in Philadelphia for their son, Matt Brown and his wife, a commissioning for their son, Elijah. Elijah was only in this world for a few hours, and to remember him, they asked Barbara to write this piece in honor of their son.
This piece will also include dancing, yes?
Yes.
You mentioned choreography before, but also improvisation. Which style will be used here? Is this a pre-planned choreographed piece or more response to the music and in free form?
How Beautiful will be, I'm sure, pre-planned. The improvisational will be certainly utilized in the Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child.
Okay. William Grant Still, we have this Detroit Symphony Orchestra recording. Name a year, every conducting goes back to the late 80s, I think, early 90s. Symphony number one, Symphony number two. I could listen to them every day. They're rich with melody and humanity and color. So that's where I grew to admire Still's music. He was writing in the 30s and 40s. A proud and kind man, I think, whose career was quite long-lived. He wrote both symphonies and concert pieces. And the piece you've chosen from is called Suite for violin and piano. And I think once again here, he uses the Black experience as great material to construct music from.
Yes, that is true. I knew of his music generally through the symphonies. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I wrote to the William Grant Still Foundation, and they sent me several pieces, and one of them was the Suite for Violin. And for many, many years, I looked at it and just thought, I really want to transcribe and arrange this for tuba, and I finally did, and it's part of the program. It's just a lovely, fun piece for violin that is now playable for tuba.
Sits wonderfully on the F tuba, is it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, this is the violin version. We're taking a break for music by William Grant Still, Movement 2, Mother and Child, and we'll be back with Velvet Brown, who's performing tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall as part of the Live and Interactive series from the BPI series. The details are online at the School of Music website, wmish.edu/music. Thank you. What a beautiful piece to listen to on this Wednesday morning with Velvet Brown, who is tuba soloist and has made an arrangement of the Suite for Violin and Piano by William Grant Still. Two pieces from this suite will be featured in your concert tonight, Velvet. And that one was called Mother and Child.
Yes.
There's a lullaby. It was filled with love. Beautiful piece.
It's very beautiful. And I, when I first heard it, I knew that I needed to play it.
You filled your program with works by composers, well-known and lesser-known, surprising works. I think one coming up by Sir Andre Previn will be a little bit of a surprise for people. I'm just looking over. You've mentioned Alice Gomez, mm-hmm. who is an active composer today. Mm-hmm. This might be one of the more energetic points of the recital because of the title I'm reading, Mambo Cha.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. It's percussion, mainly a percussion and dance feature. Of course, there's tuba. This piece originated as a trumpet and conga piece. It was commissioned by the principal trumpet player of the Toledo Symphony, Lorraine Carpenter, and premiered. I heard the premiere, and I loved the piece. And I waited to get to the back of the line to talk to the composer, Alice Gomez. I said, I absolutely love the piece. Can we talk next week to figure out how this piece can become a tuba piece? And
immediately
it was beautifully played. I loved it. The composer, actually, who's also a percussionist, was the percussionist on the premiere as well. And so we talked and we figured out what key we were going to place it in. It wasn't going to just be down an octave. It needed to be in the exact right key. So I had the music. I looked it over. We talked about it, and she did make the adjustment. And this piece is played probably 20 times to one tuba to trumpet in today.
It took off with tubas.
Yes.
That's Mambo Cha by Alice Gomez from her Latin Jazz Suite. And my guest, Velvet Brown, is the person who made that happen. And you can hear the piece tonight at 7:30 in her recital with Moja Tuba, which brings together tuba, piano, percussion, and dance, as well as audiovisual components. And we are close to hitting on nearly every piece in the program, saving Sir Andre Previn for last. This piece of substance by Darius Milhaud, maybe you could give us a few words on this French composer who clearly loved music from other parts of the world.
Yes, I found this piece in my file. I forgot about it, and it was given to me by a trumpet player that played it on a recital that I attended many, many years ago, and I found it, and it's Songs of a Negro Woman, and there are three lovely, lovely pieces. First is My History, the second movement is Abandon, and the last is Without Hearth or Place, and transcribed this for tuba and piano, just so that there's a variety of composers, a variety of flavors, and just again filling the program with absolutely beautiful and meaningful music. Mm-hmm.
Did you grow up going to church on Sundays, and was it a Black church, Baptist, or?
I grew up, going to a Methodist church in Annapolis, Maryland. It was the church for many generations. Probably my grandparents and their parents, and I think also one generation before that were members of this church.
Do you think that spirituals get the credit they deserve for being foundational in American music?
I don't know if they get the credit. I'm sure that they do. I understand the foundation of it. I heard it every Sunday. I heard it with my family. My father had two sisters that were always soloists at church, and they had incredible voices. One would always equate my aunt to Mahalia Jackson. Wow. And that's how I grew up. And the other component, my father was a member of a rhythm and blues band called the Van Dykes that were Atlantic Records stars in the late 50s. And I know that from time to time, later on, when the band revived, I was growing up listening to a fantastic rhythm and blues band, saxophone, trombone, trumpet, percussion, keyboard, guitar, vocalist in my basement as I'm upstairs doing my homework or eating dinner or something. So I had music all around me. And as I mentioned before, there was also the drum and bugle corps, a totally different component. So I only know music. My mother isn't a musician, but I just grew up with it, and I know no other way. And yes, everything is, I think I was grounded in the tradition of spirituals, the tradition of expressing ourselves through song. However, my instrument is the tuba, but I still want to express myself through song.
It's all right here on these two pages of the program, both your extended formal training, classically training, it's here in the spirituals, and your love of expressing yourself through melody. And you were speaking of great singers, including your aunts. Another great singer would be Kathleen Battle, who is the inspiration, I think, for this last piece.
Definitely.
On the program.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about how you learned of this Sweet Honey and Rue by Andre Previn.
It's quite a funny story. Many years ago, there was the CD Club. I don't know how many people would remember that. Well, I forgot to send my slip back in the mail to say that I didn't want the next CD, because generally, as a tuba player at that time, I was part of the CD Club to get all of the symphonies, the Bruckner Symphony recordings, mm-hmm. and Mahler Symphony recordings, Tchaikovsky, and so forth and so on. So that's mainly why I joined. I wanted to get those recordings. This particular piece came in the mail because I didn't send the paper back to say not to send the next selection. And I thought, well, it's not some big brassy symphony, so I will go ahead and listen to it. I absolutely fell in love with the Honey and Rue Suite of Andre Previn, and transcribed not until, this is one of the newer pieces on the program, transcribed the Take My Mother Home for tuba, piano, and percussion.
Well, let me see here. Let me look
dance.
At the back of this. This is 1995. This CD, as we have it here in our
yes.
studio as well. And Andre is your man who loved jazz as well,
mm-hmm.
And could also yes. write concert music, mm-hmm. orchestral music, film music. Well, I guess we have to end our time here today, and I think this would be a great way to do it with the song Take My Mother Home.
And that's exactly how we're ending the program, too, tonight.
Okay, folks, the concert's at 7:30 tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University. Details at wmich.edu/music. Velvet Brown, thank you very much. It's been an honor.
Thank you very much for having me.